Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Mike Wise Show. This week in part three of our four-part series on the North Carolina basketball family, we'll discuss how legendary coach Dean Smith was so much more than a basketball coach. He was a teacher, a life coach, and a man of character with a perfectly aligned moral compass.
The Mike Wise Show is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Mike Wise Show is hosted by a guy who played basketball atrociously for Hawaii Pacific College, which forced him into journalism. And, oh yeah, he wrote about basketball for the New York Times, the Washington Post, and ESPN. He's also a wise ass, and so are many of his guests. Right, Mike?
Thanks, Darlene. Our panel of UNC greats is back this week. George Lynch was the leader of the 1993 national champs, George's co-founder of HBCU Heroes, and a partner in Legends Brand USA. George Karl played at UNC in the early 1970s, became one of the most successful coaches in NBA history, and belongs in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Matt Doherty played and coached at UNC and several other schools, and is the author of Rebound, From Pain to Passion, Leadership Lessons Learned. At North Carolina, Coach Smith was clearly the undisputed boss, but he respected all of his players and always treated them like family. And as our panel told my producer and co-host Bruce Bernstein, he backed them up with more than just words.
Brad Daugherty told us a story one time about a crooked cop who pulled him over in college. He was driving back to campus from his home in the western part of the state. He had a white female classmate in the car with him. And when Brad told Coach Smith what happened, Coach just went off and he tracked down this cop. He accused him of racism. He absolutely went after the guy. George Lynch, are there any stories like that that you can relate to from your time with Coach Smith where he really put himself out there on a very specific case that he was outraged by?
I believe when I was in school, you know, the late 80s to the early 90s, on campus, there was a protest that the students was trying to get a Black culture center. We didn't have a place that minority students could go and socialize. And they were trying to drum up football players and basketball players and other athletes to be involved. But of course, basketball and football were kind of the leaders on campus when it came to student activity. And I was approached, and I'm sure a few other players was approached, and Coach Smith had a team meeting and was like, listen, don't do something just because people ask you to. If you've done your research, it's something you're passionate about. He was fully in support of students being on campus, being active, and speaking their voice, you know, no matter what side of the aisle they were on. And I remember him giving us the support and courage to stand up with our student body and fight for a student center. I remember that vividly.
Coach Karl, Dean Smith coached men, not players. The word is that he always wanted his players to be gentlemen. Any examples that you can share?
Well, I think it was, I mean, more than anything else, his memory of alumni and people he knew was amazing. I mean, I would be walking with Coach Smith in a football game or, you know, after a practice, and he would introduce everybody to me. You remember, this was John. You met him at High Point. He just wanted you to be communicative. He wanted you to be a gentleman. He was really a stickler on time. He didn't want you to waste other people's time by being late. He wanted you to look in people's eyes when you talked, just the simple things of being a man. Be responsible, be respectful. to everybody. I we were talking about some of the things with racism. I was there during the Vietnam War, and there was a lot of crazy stuff going on. Our school got closed down. And my freshman year was closed down because of the protests going on campus. And that lasted all through my time at Carolina. And I was somewhat vocal against the war. And he never, ever questioned my thought. You know, he always talked to you about doing it the right way. But he wanted you to have strong opinions, both on your emotions, on your philosophies, on your religion. He wanted you to be your own man in many ways. And I've said it 1,000 times, he's a hell of a basketball coach, but he's a better coach of men than he is of basketball.
Coach Daugherty, any thoughts on that?
When Coach Carr was talking, just the awareness Coach Smith had, I had a client meeting this morning with a business owner, and I brought up Coach Smith because we were talking about culture. And I said, he was one of the smartest men I've ever been around. He could talk about, he could have been the CEO at GE, IBM, Xerox, but he just happened to love basketball. And thank God he did, for all of us who played for him. His awareness was just uncanny. You know, his social awareness, obviously. And for a New Yorker, and I've shared this with my kids, you know, you come down, and now I've been in the South more than I've been in the North. And it's rude when Northerners come down to, I live in North Carolina, they come down and say, the bagels aren't as good down here. The pizza's not as good. Oh, the culture's not as good. You want to say, well, screw you, go back to New York. But when I was a freshman, he said to me, hey, don't compare anything to New York. He says, that'll be rude. People will take that as being rude. You know, you're in the South now, and it's different. It's not better. It's not worse. It's different. Just don't compare and say, things are better at home in New York, because that will turn people off.
Coach Smith was born in Kansas and played for legendary coach Fog Allen, who was a direct disciple of the inventor of basketball, Dr. James Naismith. Dean Smith moved to North Carolina at the age of 27. And as Matt Daugherty described, he was very old school in his belief that you respect the area that you're now a part of. Coach Smith also wasn't a fan of players reading the stat sheet after a game. There was another number that meant much more to him, 96.
So Coach Smith had two very important numbers associated with his career. Yeah, he won 78% of his games over his 36 years, but he had 96% graduation rate. George Lynch, is that even more of a legacy than his incredible record as a coach?
I think it is. And the people who played and been a part of the Carolina Way and family, we all know that Coach Guffridge also played a big part of that. I can remember it was days and I mean, it pretty much not a day that went by that Coach Guffridge didn't have a notebook in his hand and have reports on guys' classes, their schedule, their teachers, their grades, and that was very important. You know, when Coach Smith came into my living room to recruit me, he was one of the few coaches that stressed that he would promise our parents that he would see that we went to class. We went to church, and we were on track to graduate. And I know Coach Carr and Coach Daugherty talked about, he also didn't promise playing time. You had to earn it. That was one of the key components for my family, my father, my mom, mother, that he talked about making sure that his players graduated.
Coach Daugherty, what would piss off Coach Smith more, missing a screen or missing a class?
Oh, well, he wasn't real happy with either one, but I know this, you'd get up at 6 a.m., like Coach Carl said, and run with Coach Guthridge for a missed class, for a missed screen. You know, you might get chastised, or he'd do this to me. The worst thing he could do to me in practice was say, Daugherty, Exum, change jerseys. And he'd go like this. And that meant Cecil Exum, who was on the second team, would take my spot on the first team. And I would change jerseys to the blue jersey. So, you know, if I missed a box out, you know, and Cecil got the offensive rebound, Daugherty, Exum, change jerseys. I'd be like, oh, my God. That was the worst thing.
Coach Carl, I'm going to give you the last word on this segment. Did Coach Smith ever give you the switch jersey treatment in practice?
Yeah, he got mad at me a couple times on four corners. And four corner drills were what was a good shot and what was an okay shot and what a shot you're allowed. And, you know, so every once in a while I'd break out in four corners and I'd shoot a 5-foot running layup. And he would always then make me change and say, that's not what we want. We want only uncontested layups at the in the four corners. And, you know, four corners was kind of the opportunity for the point guard to play a little bit. And he kind of thought I took the privilege a little too far. And it was, and the hammer was brought down in a very, very demonstrative, but quiet, you know, polite way.
While those practices at Carmichael Auditorium created unbreakable bonds between the players on each of his teams, there was a tradition of non-mandatory pickup games at Carmichael that went on well after Tar Heel players graduated. All of the great UNC players would return to Carmichael for summer pickup games that were very intense and competitive. Here's Sam Perkins.
Players came back on their own in the summertime to play against the current team, and they still do that all the way down since I can remember. So when I was playing, and there's a freshman or sophomore, Walter Davis was back, Michael Corrin, Kupchak, these guys, Dudley Bradley, these guys would come back and play against us, give us time. But they also came back to see Dean Smith, and that's how much respect and appreciation they had for him, to the point where we followed that culture. And so when I finished, I came back and Worthy came back, so on and so on. Jerry Stackhouse, Sean May, who's there now. I mean, we all came back and did that because of Coach Smith.
Please join us next week on the Mike Wise Show as we present the final part of our series on the North Carolina basketball family. Our panel will share stories of Tar Heel legends like Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, and James Worthy. Sam has a story about Coach Carl that is laugh out loud funny. You won't want to miss it. Thank you to our outstanding editor, Kristen Woolley. If you're enjoying this series, we featured some selected video segments from our Carolina family members on the Pure Hoops Media YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search Pure Hoops Media. For my producer and co-host Bruce Bernstein, I'm Mike Wise.
The Mike Wise Show used to be called The Wise Ass Show, but it remains a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.